Hello and welcome to another installment of Kazuo the Trekker. Well, season one of Star Trek Prodigy has finally concluded. Today we saw the dropping of Supernova Part 2. The last episode of season one of Star Trek Prodigy. And overall, I must say, it was a great episode. Had a lot of fun moments, a lot of cool little reveals. A lot of some perplexities. I'm going to cover that perplexity at the end of this. But they could have made this really big on scale. Just keep it going up and up and up and up and up. But this one here, they did it to where it gives you promise of a great second season that's not going to have anything to do with what they've been trying to battle against the last 20 episodes. 19 if you don't include this episode, The Living Construct. So, in this episode, they decide to destroy the Protostar. Dal shows how much he's grown as a character, where he's going to sacrifice himself. And then Janeway's like, no, you're not. And then he's like, okie dokie. Don't worry about it. You'll have a duplicate of me. And they're like, okie doke. Then come to find out that Hologram Janeway can't be transferred because her file is too big. There's not enough time to make that transmission. Which was nice to have that line, because there's going to be a lot of people who say, oh, it's the future. Why don't you have a whole lot of information storage units? Well, maybe they just didn't have it available to do so. I was fine with it. It led to a really good farewell speech. And because we have Admiral Janeway, we don't necessarily need Hologram Janeway in the second season, because it would be dubious, I think. So, because in season two, they're going to be working with Admiral Janeway, getting back Chakotay from the future, because the Protostar opened up a similar gateway that happened with Protostar originally. It opened up to similar coordinates, which that's the part I have an issue with. But like I said, I'm gonna get that at the end. So we find out that they go through a tribunal type thing, a little hearing, and then Janeway goes to bat for them, and then they all get accepted into Starfleet, albeit not necessarily the most traditional sense of a Starfleet cadet. They get put in as warrant officers assigned to Janeway, and they're gonna go with her to find Chakotay. And I was hoping they were gonna show us what ship she chooses, because she said a ship of her choice. So we didn't get to see the ship of choice. So now that's going to lead to fan speculation. Is it going to be the USS Dauntless? Or is it going to be another ship that possibly she pulls out of mothballs? Or whoever it is, the starship Voyager. Because it's been to the Delta Quadrant. They've all probably updated the systems. It's not that old of a starship. I mean, that would be kind of cool. But that's just speculation on what they're going to do in Season 2. No idea what they're doing. And then we also see Gwen going back home to try to unite her her people before First Contact. They called her the Unifier, which is like a really cool name for her, because her dad was a diviner and the other member of her species was a Vindicator, and now she is a Unifier, which I thought was pretty cool. To kind of put her into the same status of what they are, but on the side of good. And that brings us to the big question mark is, what is this Essentia character going to be playing, and what is she going to be doing in Season 2? Because her plan was foiled, and if she's going back to Solemn, she's going to be the one Gwen does. So, are we going to see sort of a cut sort of scene thing where we're gonna, in season two, we're gonna be with Janeway and Rock Talk and Dahl and all them on this mystery ship of her choosing, and then also cut back and forth between Gwen interacting with the society there and having to combat against Ascensia making the uprising happen earlier with her arrival with a warning of what's going to happen in the future. So there's a lot of things that they can do with what they have left from the event, from the finale of season one. So while season two doesn't necessarily have to be a continuation of season one, some of the elements can, like the tracking down of Chakotay is going to be the big one. And so I think that wraps up all the things that happened in the episode, because we started out with them being this really cool ship destruction shot and stuff, and debris field, and then all that stuff. That was all really cool. So that brings me to my frustration. So when you're writing your story, and you're writing the lines, and you're writing your exposition that you're sharing, it's really amazing if you just keep track of what you're saying. So, if we know the kids are based in 2383. If you don't want to give dates away, fine. You want to be kind of cryptic on it, fine. That's great. Be cryptic. But remember that you're being cryptic. So then when you drop these dates obscurely, you don't forget you did that. Because right now, unless we are retconning what was established already, you have the kids in 2383, you have First Contact 50 years later, then you have two sets of decades of civil unrest before Chakotay arrives on the planet on accident through the wormhole that he passed through. The time travel displacement thing. At least 40 years, because decades is at least two. And there's two mentions of that, which is 40. So 50 plus 40 is 90. So 2383 plus 90 is really where Chakotay should be, based off dialogue in the show. Because if, when they're talking about the decades of unrest and the decades of this, if it's just a decade, you don't say decades. It doesn't make any sense. It's like if I'm in 2010, I say that 2000 was a decade ago. If I'm in 2010, I can't say that 2000 was decades ago, because it's not. It's 10 years ago, which is one decade. So if I'm saying, oh man, the 90s, yeah, that was decades ago, that is true. Because right now, we're 30 years past that, so that's decades. So if we just go by the bare minimum of what plural means for decades, that's 20. And there was two mentions of it. And that little breakdown that they were giving. 20 years of this, and then decades again. They didn't mention it just once, they mentioned it twice. So unless she meant the same thing, but broken up, like she forgot that she already said decades and said it again, which fine, we could say that because she was talking, but even then, that's 70. Because 50 plus 20. So it'd be 2383 plus 72. You're 72 years. But in this episode, they're saying he's 52 years. So the math is problematic. So either A, he arrived earlier than they thought, and he was in prison for a lot longer, or the dates are all wrong. So it'd be really great if, when you're doing time travel, you have your dates locked down. When you're storyboarding this stuff, you write down what the dates are. Then you don't tell the audience what they are. You be cryptic or whatever, but you still know what they are. So that way, in your finale episode, you're able to give us the exact dates that would correlate with previous episodes in which dates are mentioned, even if they are like offhandedly. Because we have an episode where we're seeing solemn, And the diviner says 50 years or something like that. And then flash forward to Prelude when we're doing the whole help the diviner remember stuff thing. And she goes on her little spiel. She says, first paragraph, decades of this. Pause. Then decades of this. So just taking the two dates together, you get 90. So when I'm watching this finale episode and they say that he's 52 years in the future and they review a message and I think there's like day 72. So that's my irritation. It doesn't make me not enjoy the show. It doesn't make me enjoy the characters. It doesn't make me enjoy. It doesn't make me not want to watch season 2 or boycott season 1. I still love the show, and I still love the characters, and I'm enjoying what I've seen, and I can't wait for season 2, and I can't wait to see for the fanfares about what's going to happen in season 2. But I'm very huge into time travel. So when we're doing time travel, I like the dates, and when I get the dates and they aren't right, it kind of irritates me. It takes me out a little bit, because I'm like, well, in that episode you said this, and in this episode you said that, and why aren't you remembering what you wrote, seeing how Chakotay is a big part of the cause of the Protostar being where it is. I mean, when describing to someone what the show is about, you have to explain the Diviner, the time travel, him going to 2360s, and then the girl going to 2380, Chakotay being in the future. And then when first contact happens, and then the wormhole that opens up and Chakotay comes out. All those have particular dates. So, someone is not sure. I think before season 2 starts, the writers need to fix it a little bit. And all it could be simply done is what they did in Discovery. Season 1, episode 1, when Burnham was figuring out how far away the storm was. She set a time. Then when they got there, it was already there almost. Like, oh, it's moving faster than I thought. So people are allowed to be flawed, and math's allowed to be flawed. So a simple line is we misinterpreted the length of time. It's actually 2373 or 2473. That's all you need. And you fix everything. Everything becomes fine. No plot holes, no asterisks, no curiosities. Just one little line. Oh, we misdiagnosed this part of the code of what we were reading. It's actually 2473. Boom, solved. Because at current moment, without that, the dates don't match with what they've been hinting at in season 1. And what they reveal finally with where Chakotay actually is, with dialogue on screen without us having to get out a piece of paper and a pen and write down dates. But that's a very small portion of the episode, and more of an overarching irritation of the series as a whole, that one little time travel aspect. But that part, outside of everything else, the season finale was good. They did what you thought they were going to do, which was like, wow, they're going to blow up the ship. Because they could have done some kind of crazy time travel thing, but then they would undo things, but they didn't do that. But they have hinted that they are made contact with an alternative timeline. So not the future of their timeline, but that the other one still exists, and they've made a bridge, essentially, to this other timeline. So pretty much kind of like 2009 Star Trek, to where you had the Narada go back in time, and it branched out the timeline to where it exists in its own plateau, adjacent from Prime centralized canon. But the events that were occurring in the Kelvin timeline up until that point exactly mirror what happened prior in Prime canon. So that would mean Enterprise is a prequel series to the Kelvin movies, in a way. So, in season 2, when Janeway takes the crew to this thing, they could be actually traveling to the future, possibly, like First Contact. But instead of going back, they go forward. And they could go through this alternative timeline and rescue Chakotay and bring him back home. But then that timeline just keeps on going. And they close the fissure at the end of the season. And it would give you a on-screen clear example of how a timeline branches and continues. Because right now, we don't necessarily have that. We have just the idea that we don't want our precious canon being erased. We don't actually have any, they duly exist yet. So once now we've already seen the alterations, because the events of the first season don't happen in the original timeline, obviously. So now in season 2, if they go through that wormhole to the future, they're going to go to the future as if the first season never existed in that timeline. If that's confusing, I apologize. But you got to remember, two different timelines. The timeline Chakotay is in the future in, that didn't have the protostar being hunted by the Diviner or anyone else. First Contact happened naturally and went horribly bad, caused civil wars and unrest. Season 2 is in Timeline 2 with now Essentia possibly on Solem, telling about the horrible Federation 50 years earlier, and then possibly Gwen arriving to try to battle her out and convince them otherwise, so they would initiate Starfleet influence without actually having Starfleet influence them, and then different events transpiring from that point forward. And in that future, Chakotay does not arrive. He's not going to arrive in that future. So in season 2, we'll be going to a timeline that will be similar to Endgame, where Janeway was in 2402, went back to 2379, 2378, but stayed there, and we weren't clear, did that other timeline keep going, or did it just erase itself? Don't know. But now, in season 2 of Prodigy, if they are, in fact, going through that wormhole, time fissure thing, to the future, and we see Chakotay, we will know, conclusively, we will have a moment in Star Trek where it shows that the different timelines exist separately. And before you say, way to take the mirror universe, not the same thing. The mirror universe and all parallel universes all exist separately. Talking about time travel, like yesterday's Enterprise, or Quality of Mercy, or Time Squared, E2, Twilight, Timeless, Endgame, All Good Things. Only the future part, because the other two would never exist separately of itself because they were just a branch. But the last one, the Old Man Picard, that's the future timeline where just the events transpired and it happened. So, but we never get to see if they keep on going. So my whole point to this confusing wordy thing here is that season 2 will actually show us, yes, they do continue after being branched out. So then that will allow more credence to what we learned in Discovery Season 3 about crossing over to different timelines. Because that's the only place we really saw it. Which means that in the original series, City of the Edge of Forever, they didn't delete the timeline. They just delete their perception of the timeline. So that timeline still continues. So it makes all these different timelines exist where you could possibly make a comic based in it. So you could theoretically, after season 2 shows us that the timeline does continue once a new one is created. You could do a Lost Era comic and show those timelines, because they all matter. They don't just get deleted at the end. So the stakes of what's happening inside of that bubbleverse, essentially, exists. They still matter, even though it doesn't relate to the other timeline. It becomes like a DC Elseworld story, like the Joker or the Batman made by Matt Reeves. Not connected to the overall DCU, but they still have their own stories, and they have their own stakes, and they all still have meaningful impact. That's what will happen in season 2 once we actually have an on-screen acknowledgement past what we saw in Discovery season 3. So, about this episode, I thought it was good. I really enjoyed the Gwen Dowell thing, because we saw the awkward kiss he gave to her the last episode. And then this one here, she's like, put her hand on his hand, gave him a kiss. It was really beautiful. I mean, it was, that was hinted at throughout the course of the entire season, and it was kind of nice that they wrapped it up. They wrapped up a lot of the stuff in this season in a nice little boat where you could have a conversation about a lot of these different things and character development and growth in only 20 episodes, and each one's 22 minutes long. So what it boils down to is 10 full-length episodes of, like, Picard or a Strange New World, and having that much stuff happening to these characters to show their growth from episode 1 where they're on Taz Lamora and to all the way up until Supernova part 2. That's a testament to a show, is where you're able to have a conversation that goes a long time about a character with very little time because of what it is and who the core the demographic that the people are going for, which is supposed to be kids, but I think it's more like preteens rather than, like, you know, 6-year-olds. So, like, Lower Decks is based more towards the, you know, 14 to 18. Strange New World is set more for the 18 to 24 and older and stuff like that. This one here is more set for the preteens, which is fine. But then us older guys, I'm 40, we're watching it to see what's going on with Admiral Janeway, because we want to expand upon her canon and what we know, because it's canon. Even though Prodigy is labeled as a kid's show, this is a continuation of Voyager. So, like, when you're watching Star Trek Voyager and you're seeing Endgame and you see Admiral Janeway coming back to save her crew, you'll be like, oh, well, in her new future, she's going to be doing stuff with the Protostar and trying to get down Chakotay from being in the future. So we're expanding these characters past what we saw them last in. And, like, for instance, Janeway, last time before Prodigy, we saw her was in Nemesis. That was in 2002. And she was an admiral at that point, too. So it's fun to expand the characters and build the world and show that these characters still matter. They're not just not a footnote, because like the original Star Trek crew, Kirk, Bones, and all them, they got their 6 movies. TNG crew got their 4 movies, and now Voyager isn't getting its big screen adaptation, but it's getting sprinkled throughout other series, like 7 of 9 is on Picard, and had Endgame happened differently, she wouldn't have been accessible to help out in that moment anyway. So you could have alternative timelines if Picard didn't have 7 of 9, but the same situations were to arise. Same thing with Prodigy. The events that we're seeing in Prodigy could have gone a whole lot differently in the original flow of time had Janeway not gone back to bring her crew home after 7 years only. So there's a lot of world building and continuity expanding of what all these characters mean to each other and how they relate to other parts of the Star Trek canon. And as Prodigy continues to go on, it's going to make that more and more prevalent. We're going to see more and more stuff, and we're going to probably learn a whole lot more what's going on with the Federation, because, I mean, we're getting close to the attack on Mars in Prodigy, because the date's never mentioned, but it was supposed to be 2383, and the 20 episodes that we've had haven't really played like TNG, where weeks or months could be in between each episode. It's like right after the other. So I think the biggest time jump we got is in the finale, when we go 1 month later. That gives Asante enough time to get to the planet, start doing her thing, so when season two happens, our Gwen will go down and stuff will already be established. So it allowed for pieces to move around off camera without it seeming forced, or like, how did that happen so fast? A month is a long time. So, sky's the limit. And I know they're already doing season two. They're probably already done with it all. But we are going to know what's going on with that probably for like 6 months. Because we have Picard starting in February. And then we'll probably have Strange New Worlds. And then Lower Decks. So we got 10, 20, 30. We got like probably 35 weeks, give or take. Until we're going to learn probably anything about Prodigy Season 2. Because they're going to want to give all the attention to their current show that's going to be airing. But I suspect we're going to get a lot of Robert Beltran. We're going to get a lot of Admiral Janeway. We might even get to see the Voyager. I mean, we already know that there's a Voyager J in Discovery Season 4. So, or three, can't remember when they showed the J, pretty sure it was three. And then, so we could be seeing the Voyager A in this. She could be launching the Voyager A for all we know, which I think would be pretty interesting. It would relate it way, it would definitely tie it directly into Voyager more directly, because you have Voyager, the USS Voyager in Star Trek Voyager, and then the Voyager A in Prodigy Season 2, and then we just launch us down that lineage going on. It'd be similar to what we're getting with the Enterprise. But to wrap up this podcast, this has been a really great Season 1. Lots of character exploration, lots of heart, lots of a good introduction to a Star Trek, to show just because you might be this way right now, or this is how stuff's going on right now, is not a reflection of how it's going to end up. And you just stay positive, you do the right thing, and it might have a good outcome. And it's an uplifting show, and it's fun for the whole family. I mean, you just take out all the, you know, discrepancies away from it, and it's a good show. I mean, it'll stand the test of time. It's definitely going to be more rewatchable than, you know, TNG Season 1. You can only enjoy Season 1 of TNG if you've seen all of TNG after it got great. Because then when you go back to watching it again, you have more understanding of the characters. But Prodigy isn't going to have that problem. Prodigy has a lot of character, a lot of fullness, where they've got that Season 4 of Star Trek TNG in Season 1. So they either A, keep expanding upon and becoming even greater, or they might start not having to do so much character and do plot, and because of all the character we already have, we can put it on to the characters of all that growth. Kind of like the movie in TNG. If you took away the 7 seasons of TNG and only related the content of the movies, it probably would fall flat. But because we knew the characters going in, they didn't have to do all of the heavy lifting to make us connected to its characters because they were already existing. Same thing here. We have a lot of rock talk. We have a lot of what made these characters who they are. Jank Pog, Zero, everything. We know a lot about these characters. So Season 2, they could focus more on, like, Chakotay, the story, Admiral Janeway, her history from Voyager into where we're at now. Because it's kind of spotty at best. We don't know a lot. between her time on the scene of Nemesis with Picard and going to a thing that's like 5 years. So there's a lot of flashbacking to her and Robert Beltran before he takes command. So interesting to see what they do with season two. But as far as season one goes, I was pretty much impressed with what I've seen. Beautiful show. Beautiful show. You cannot get more beautiful than this. And I hope that they keep making it. And maybe future shows are going to start being more animated leaning because of what you can do with animation. So you can do like a Section 31 show. You can do animated. Like that thing that I keep seeing on Facebook, the Borg show, that can all be done in animation and not have to worry about building standing sets. Live action is a beautiful thing. Love live action. But you could introduce one more animated show, I think, and one more live action show, and it would balance out what we're seeing, because you can do a lot, especially if you make the animation be more like, say, Avatar in this new one. So you have the animation style of Lower Decks, the animation style of Prodigy, and whatever the animation style of Avatar is, so motion capture. Actually build like the set, like the outline of it, and then make the actual set design be computer generated on top of it, and everyone that's in the production is wearing motion capture, and everything that they're doing is motion captured, and it looks like Avatar. So you can build the bare bones of the set, but you're not actually building the set. It's like blue screen, but with shapes where you put stuff over it. But I'm going to conclude this podcast because it's getting kind of wordy. So, long story short, season finale of one was great. I enjoyed it. Makes me really excited about what they're going to do with season two and what ship Janeway chose for her and her crew. Oh yeah, and we got to see canonized now that the Protostar is now an actual class of ship rather than just a prototype. It's not a one and done. It's actually being launched as a regular ship class. So, that's great. Anyway, I'm going to call it end there. Hope you're able to watch season one again and again and again. Looking forward to season three of the final season of Picard in February. So, you guys have a good rest of your Star Trek day. This is Casual Trekker signing off for season one of Star Trek Prodigy. I'll conclude this podcast. Hello and welcome back to Casual Trekker's review of season one finale of Star Trek Prodigy. And this is a whoops, I forgot. So, before the crew is discovered by the Federation 1 month later and put into that trial thing, we find out that Janeway wasn't able to duplicate herself. I covered that part in my initial review, but I did not say what might irritate people or trigger people a little bit with irritation is when she was able to make that recording, because when she was uploading her file, it said insufficient space or whatever, and then immediately the door opens up and Dal comes in and she takes out the thing and hands it to him, and then from there Rock Talk says Janeway would want to see this, put it in, and there's a previously recorded message. So that was a convenience in storytelling, because she didn't have time to actually make the recording. There wasn't any time between. Had we not seen that, or there would have appeared to be like some sort of a time jump, then it would have been fine. Did I have a big issue with that? Absolutely not. But I already know that people are going to jump all over it and go, wah, 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 wah. And I'm already over it. I haven't even heard any other reviews yet of this episode. But I know it's going to be a thing. Because they're just going to... Everyone's got to jump over everything and try to tear everything apart. Granted, I did have that irritation with the time travel thing, but that's a plot point to the overarching story. Her having time to communicate a message to them is non-consequential to the plot of the show or the series as a whole or the episode. So, little difference between irritation levels. Her not having time to make the recording doesn't change the outcome of the recording, and it doesn't change any of the dynamics based of before or after or during. So, it was just we didn't have time to show a time jump because we're in a 22-minute window. We wanted to have all this heart and love and emotion from all these characters, and we all wanted to have all this cool stuff happen. So we had to have this one little, suspension of disbelief thing. Fine. So I just wanted to add that in real fast. So again, you have a good Star Trek day. Sorry for all the yawning. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning for me when I was watching this. So I apologize about any yawning you may hear. So you have a great day. Enjoy the show. And we'll be back here again for season 2. This will conclude this podcast.